Well, g'day everybody and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. This podcast is brought to you by Mazda. Save at the Mazda stock clearance. 2019 Mazda BT50 4x4 dual cab XT Ute now from only $37,490. Drive away for ABN holders and primary producers. Conditions apply. Today on the show, we're going to start the new format, good or great. We throw up a player's name, make the argument through the show, see if we can change each other's minds. Today, we're getting stuck into Trent Cotchin, the Richmond captain. I've already thrown it out there on Insta and Twitter. It's divided people pretty much straight down the line. All right, this is a Hardball Gets AFL show. If you haven't subscribed, please do that. Leave a rating, leave a review, and let's get stuck in. Right, this is the good or great format. We each start the episode by throw out the player's name.
We don't know what we're doing yet, do we?
No, not really.
We're just
we've got some subheadings.
Yeah.
We've got some topics. Like,
this could go anywhere.
Oh, it really could. We're doing our best, everyone.
we're all doing our best.
Yeah. All right, today, Trent Cotchin. So this is, Trent Cotchin kind of started this idea, didn't he, X?
Yeah, he did. Well, we just had a discussion, me and a couple of mates. I don't know how we got involved doing it, but we just started rattling off some players. And, of course, if you don't like the player, hey, shit house, he's no good. He's no good. But then we actually said, righto, seriously, let's name some players. And are they great? Greats of the game? Or are they good players?
Yeah,
there's a difference between a good player and a good player, if that makes sense.
And we struggled to sort of set the bar, but I think that's what this episode will do for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
It might be the Trent Cotchin bar.
Yeah,
at some point.
Yeah, could be. Trent Cotchin bar. Yeah. But, and I think footy at the moment, we've obviously got no games to talk about, but people still like to engage in conversation.
Yeah, there was a bit of a lull in that couple of weeks when no one knew what was happening. But
a lot of pay deal stuff.
Yeah.
It's just boring as batshit.
But people are starting to come back to footy content. Just like talking about the games.
At the moment, like, I go out and water the grass every night with a stubby and put a podcast in. Like, and I search for podcasts.
Yep.
Thick and far to find something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, it's crucial to have some content still going.
How's the grass going? Looking good?
Mate, it was absolutely cooked. No, it was cooked. It was all dirt, completely dirt since I bought the joint. And anyway, I've been out there, maybe sometimes. You know what, bugger it. What are they going to do? Come arrest me for watering the garden too much? Not on my right days. Well, I am, so bugger off. Anyway.
No, you can hand water.
Yeah, sometimes just leave the sprinkler out there. But it's getting nice and green. Still got plenty of work to do.
So we should go around and have like a first take of what we consider a great. Is it, because there's a balance of achievements and ability and stuff.
Yeah.
I lean more towards the ability over the achievements, because some people can have a great list of
achievements. Can
nods.
Be funny because you tend to get more accolades when you're in winning teams.
You
might get a slight bump, an extra All-Australian jumper, but on the flip side, it's just as hard to win a BNF in a good team as it is.
Yeah.
Maybe the bad team, you don't get the other stuff, but you get more BNFs.
Yeah, best.
So it balances
out. But your numbers are pumped up.
Correct.
If you're an ordinary team, just play midfield nonstop, and you don't have to worry about changing, you don't have to worry about defending, you don't have to worry about anything, your numbers are obviously going to be more inflated.
That Nathan Jones has had a far better career playing at Melbourne than he would have playing at Geelong.
Yeah.
Because he just wouldn't have been, he might not have even played half his games. 100%. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start off. Trent Cotchin, Richmond captain. Rhino, kick us off. Good or great?
Why'd I have to be the first?
Because I was looking at you.
Okay. When you asked me to do this, I was like, how do I decipher whether somebody's good or great?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to think, is it because they're going to make it into the Hall of Fame? Is it because you're talking about them in 15, 20 years as a great player, or as something they've achieved? Now, obviously, two-time premiership captain jumps off a page to greatness.
Yes.
But if he wasn't a two-time premiership captain, and let's say they lost those two grand finals, is he great? Probably not. I'm putting him in the great category just because of that.
You're going great?
I'm going to go, there's more detail here.
Yeah.
But he's just over that great line, like just. And have he not had those two flags? He's not there.
Oh, no, if he's not the premiership captain, he's not great.
So you are great as
well. I'm great. I'm great, and I'm not even going to question it.
Well, you must be good then.
I'm good.
Great. We've got something.
Right, well, now we've got something to argue about.
We've got an argument.
Yeah, I've got Trent Cotchin as just a good player.
A good, solid citizen.
Good, solid citizen. I kind of think about Hall of Fame, and this is, we'll get into a little bit later, but yeah, I think I would have Trent Cotchin as good. I would have him just the other side of the line.
Okay, I suppose there's a counter argument here. Is every two-time premiership captain great?
Well, who are some? Ling? Is Ling two-timer?
He wasn't a captain.
Only one. In 2011, he was a captain.
Yeah, okay. One of them. The other ones would not
Harley.
Be.
Tom Harley? Well, Tom Harley wouldn't be great.
Yeah, Tom Harley's two-time premiership
captain.
Is John
Worsfold great as a player, not a coach?
I don't think his coaching's been very good.
No, but like, if you just separate just his playing career.
Oh, look, Woosh is probably just a fraction.
He's probably good, right? He's very good.
Yeah,
good.
Very good. Yeah.
So...
I put him in the same class as Worsfold then.
So we've got to ahead of those guys. Yeah, which is why it's okay to bump him into this great category, because it's not just because he was a two-time premiership captain.
Well, there's one bit of criteria, so the premiership captain stuff.
Yep.
But there was one other thing that pushed me into the great category.
Do we want to save this?
Yeah, I'll hold it.
All right, okay. I'll hold this.
So
all right.
We're doing categories?
So we're doing categories. Okay. So first of them is achievements. So laid out on paper, it looks very good. 2017, 2019 premiership captain.
Mm-hmm.
2012 Brownlow medalist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
AFL Coaches Association player of the year.
Can we talk about the Brownlow now, or are we leaving?
Well, we could get into the Brownlow in a second. I'll just finish the list.
Sure.
AFL player, Coaches Association player of the year 2012.
Yeah.
Three BNFs, 11, 12 and 14.
Yeah.
Only one All-Australian, 2012.
That surprised me.
Mm.
All right, so the Brownlow.
So he had, judging by this piece of paper in front of me, he had one outstanding year of individual footy.
Yep.
And it was 2012. He didn't win the Brownlow first up because Job won it. I was called him Tobe. Job won it. Yeah. And then he obviously got awarded along with Sam Mitchell.
26 votes. So he's polled pretty well.
That's a good number.
Yeah.
A lot of people win with 26 votes. Not nowadays, but in the past.
Yeah.
Also the Coaches Association Player of the Year. So that's got to stand for something.
Yep.
Also his only All-Australian year and one of his three BNFs. So clearly that year he was one of the best three or four players in the competition.
He was the best.
No matter how. Yeah.
There's another way to go, but he's the best player in the competition.
Because he won the Brownlow?
No, because he won the Coaches Association votes.
That was
the one thing that got me over the line. I looked at the players that have won that, and you've got Pendlebury, Swan, Ablett, Bontempelli, Dangerfield, those names who you'd say were all heading towards the great category when they finish, and Trent Cotchin's in there. So that just says the coaches that year thought there was no better player, and they know more than we do, there was no better player in the competition than Trent Cotchin.
So your stamp of approval from the Coaches Association, that's like you can't get any higher than that.
I think that, well, there's more weight. I think personally that's a better award than the Brownlow.
And what about Players Association?
Similar. It'd be above the Brownlow.
I'd have the coaches above the players. I think sometimes the players.
Yeah, sorry. I think the coaches, and it's probably not highlighted enough.
Yeah.
The Coaches Association, best player in the competition.
Yeah, because to get max votes in that, the opposition coach have to think you were the problem.
Yeah, shit, you absolutely destroyed us.
Yeah.
You were way better than
players. Players Association, on the other hand, people like Sam Butler vote in the Players Association and he couldn't name five of the
players. Sorry.
That's the problem. Some players are really into it, some players not so much.
Yeah.
And occasionally you'd vote for the most courageous player as your mate to try and get his name on the board.
See, I'd like to see... ideally, you'd probably have some combination of the three. The umpires are voting, the players and the coaches are voting, and some sort of combined total
award. Yeah.
But
like an EGOT.
So an EGOT. So the 2012 season is above great. That's outstanding. That's his main year. So if you're just going on achievements, he's probably only, I mean, one All-Australian is probably not enough.
Do we want to go semantics here? I consider great above outstanding.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the ranking order.
Yeah. Well, we don't have outstanding.
Good, outstanding, great.
Outstanding's not a category.
But outstanding's not a category.
What's above great? Brilliant?
Great's
great. No, great's as good as it gets.
Great's
the max. Great's your Wayne Carey.
I might change my score then. He's not Wayne Carey.
No.
It's quite, there's great and then there's all-time.
Yeah.
Okay, so all-time.
Yeah, so all-time. Okay, all-time. All-time's the one that you don't even think about.
I almost changed.
Yeah, no. So all-time is one that we don't even think about.
All-time, great.
Yeah, yeah.
Outstanding, good. But for the purposes of these things, no, yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So he's had that one outstanding year, two other BNFs at Richmond, not premiership years or even prelim final years. One BNF, as I said. That's
one All-Australian.
That the All-Australian thing is what I consider because there's – they go out of their way to put midfielders in the All-Australian team.
Victorian ones too.
You don't reckon he made a decision in his game to change the way he played?
Yes.
If he wanted All-Australians, I reckon he could have chased it. Trent Cotchin 2012 was a very, very different player to Trent Cotchin 2017.
But he was still 2012 Trent Cotchin in 2014. It was only after that sort of...
But how many times was he in the squad?
I don't know either.
But you'd imagine
he was in the and he like I just think the best midfielder at a big four club, big MCG club, and he wasn't in the seven or eight best that they considered that.
Well, the years he won in the best and fairest, they were 12th, 12th, and 7th, I think. So they were just mediocre average at best.
Can you just before we keep going, what are the other categories? So I don't double.
So we've got achievements, ability, reputation, output versus talent, and then a point to finish on.
Yeah. Okay. So this is just achievements.
Yeah. This is just achievements. So let's transition now to ability.
Well, he's ticked all the basic boxes. Got a flag. Got a Brownlow. Got an All-Australian. Got multiple BNFs.
Best success. I mean, there's not many boxes there that
haven't
been
ticked. Can't ask for more than that.
Just what do you want with Coleman?
I would have liked to.
He could have told Jack to get out of the way.
I can't see you through my mic either, so I'm just potting you without you even being able to see me.
I would have liked at least one more All-Australian.
The All-Australian is the outlier there. When you have conversations like this, and it's how many times
what is an All-Australian?
It's
they go hand in hand with your team winning flags.
It's like your NBA All-Star game.
Yeah, but not necessarily.
No. If Richmond winning flags or being top four, like Shane Edwards.
Cam Mooney was All-Australian.
Egan
was All-Australian.
Yeah, if Richmond were top of the tree.
Yeah, but then he went down, didn't he?
Yeah, almost immediately after that.
Yeah, he did that year.
That was the end of him.
Was Max Rook All-Australian?
No,
I wouldn't have.
I don't think he was.
What was his actual? What was his?
There was that year. There was like nine
name?
Geelong.
Yeah. What was Max Rook's old name?
That's a good
Max
question.
Max Power.
No.
The Max was the fake part, wasn't it?
No. Wasn't it the end?
Keep jabbering.
Here we go.
We'll find out.
So yeah, that's what sticks out for me. But and that's why I don't know. Just that to be the best player at a big Victorian club and still only net one All Australian.
Yeah, Jared Rook.
Jared. So Max was the
Max the fake part. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It says Jeff McClure. I was like, it definitely wasn't Jeff McClure. That's the article.
Okay, so we've done achievements.
So ability.
And he gets a tick in the achievements.
So he averaged 27 in 2012, which was he had an elite year where he got the Brownlow, he got the best and fairest, he got All Australian Player of the Year. 26 in 16. So he's averaged across his entire career. He's averaged 5 clearances. He just, for me, it tailors off after that 2012, 2013, 14.
Well, this goes to the
where he changed
his game. Like,
yeah. I don't know if it's a decision.
Is it a decision based on this is what's best for the team, or is it a decision that he's thought this? I don't want to say he realised he was on his slide, but he's 13 seasons in now. At some point, did he realise, okay, I'm not that guy?
No, nah, well, I still reckon it at the age. So when did he change his game, you reckon? 4 years ago?
Yeah.
5 years. So he's still at his peak.
Yeah, he was 21 in 2012.
Yeah, when he's winning best and fairest.
Was his peak.
Okay. So he's winning his best and fairest.
Yeah.
That's 8 years ago.
Yeah.
When he started winning those BNFs, he was, in his third or fourth year when he first started winning. So he's still a kid. Like, he had no one around him, probably no leadership, no direction. You know, the team was battling. There was coach changes in there.
Dusty wasn't quite Dusty.
No.
Dusty was a little
And that's nice that's Dusty the part, like, I want to ask, is it because at some point he thought, okay, well,
Dusty's
if,
a man.
If we're going to be an outstanding team, Dusty is, we're going to have to build this around Dusty, and I've got to become second banana in that midfield. I've got to figure out how to still get mine, but really it's helping the team.
But also, I'd love to know, and it might be a side note, but like, I'd love to know what his contract says. Because he seems like one of those guys who has bought in so much to Richmond and success that it wouldn't surprise you that he was taking massive unders to bring in Lynch, Prestia, all those sort of guys. So
yeah,
I mean, I think he's literally, and you Damien Hardwick says that one bloke turned this club around. He's been quoted saying that. So I think it's a choice.
Yeah, so do I.
To have gone down, not to
but
have changed
his
game.
That, I think he made that choice that he wasn't going to be the man anymore.
So what
I think that affects his overall standing, like when you can.
I reckon it lifts because when he made the decision, happened?
No, you can't lift your status by going, you know,
by going backwards.
I'll take a back seat.
Yeah.
Like, not from an individual perspective.
No, from an overall.
But if that then starts to impact you.
But then that shows his leadership and actually his achievements shine. His number one achievements of premiership captain.
Yeah, but could it also just be that he's just not as good as he was?
Well, at 20, at 27.
Maybe. Well, can it be that
some guys regress?
He
at 27, he won a Brownlow.
Can't happen.
Brownlow at 21.
Whose team are you arguing for?
I actually don't know anymore.
Yeah, I don't know anymore.
So I lean more towards, when we're talking about good versus great, I lean slightly more towards their ability as a player.
I get that. But I think that in Cochin's case, he made a decision to be less of an individual.
Well, yeah, tell me what is when you think of Cheren Kocsen, let's say in 10 years from now, and your young fella young lady says, what was Cheren Kocsen like? Define Cheren Kocsen. What is he? What was his trait?
Hard inside midfielder.
And don't say team man who's
hard inside midfielder.
Dual premiership captain, Brownlow medalist.
What his achievements? Brown,
what type of player he was.
How did he play?
Just a tough player, tough inside player.
I still think in 10 years, people will talk about Cheren Kocsen, like because of the situation where he won his Brownlow, and someone will say Brownlow medalist, and someone else will go, Brownlow medalist.
But do you think that Job should have kept his Brownlow?
That's a question for another time.
It's a whole other podcast.
I thought you would have kept it, or there's a null. It's like Melbourne Storm when they took Melbourne Storm's premierships away. There's no premiers those years.
I was happy for second to take it. Sam Mitchell.
I mean, both of those guys, particularly Sam Mitchell, you don't think he's a deserving Brownlow medal winner.
Yeah.
Like, whereas Kocsen.
Kocsen's a bit of an outlier.
Kind of felt like he caught lightning in a bottle that 2012, and it was all perfect timing, really.
Yeah. No, I get that.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think that's where that sits. So ability wise, he's a good inside midfielder. Probably his disposals.
I would say he was less
than a lot of.
Yeah, if it was good or great in this category, he's good.
I just think if we sat down here and said, okay, however, he's 13 years in, this is his 13th year, let's do a draft, and he can only picking midfielders. I reckon there'd be at least a lot
ahead of
50 guys ahead of him.
Yes,
probably 100.
Yeah,
and that's why I struggle to go. Hold on a minute, until the flag stuff, until the.
Well, let's do this. Let's just give me an idea. So as we go through these subcategories, let's give it a win for good or great. So achievements, he's a great.
Yeah.
Just.
Ability, he's a good.
Yep. I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having said that, he has won a Brownlow. It's hard to say you've got good ability if you won a Brownlow.
Well, like we said, he's that one
lightning. Yeah, and this is my thing with him. I think he peaked at 21.
He was definitely great that year.
Ability-wise.
Definitely great that year.
Yeah, and he never got back there. And that's a concern for me. He's still going. He's still contributing. He's probably a better or more rounded football person now and leader and everything else. But ability-wise, he peaked at 21.
Yeah.
And okay. I just don't – there's not many that – the ones who are in that great category who peaked at 21, you know, were never seen again after like 22, 23. Like caught lightning in a bottle and then bowed out on top.
Okay. I'll take your point.
So we're all good on
that. All right.
I think it's good.
Reputation. This is sort of what the general gist of these people in the community is.
Well, yeah.
And he's pretty much at the top. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a Hall of Famer regardless.
Based on that. Well, you touched on it.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer regardless of what we decide in this podcast.
Yeah, he'll be remembered.
Yeah, straight in.
The premiership captain stuff is the stuff that's going to
stay. And especially the particular Richmond one after such a long drought.
I don't think we need to spend any time on this category.
No, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's a captain of one of the biggest clubs in the competition.
And turned them.
Turned them around.
From a joke. They were a joke. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is his defining category.
Yes.
Because it's the one we don't even argue about.
No. And the leadership to know that he's not meant to be the man anymore. Mm. And I think I was going to use this as a later point, but I'll bring it forward.
I don't buy into that leadership to know he's not the man anymore. I just think that were able to sort of – like it was Dusty's team. It didn't matter if Trent stood aside or not. Yeah. It was going to be Dusty's team. Like I'm not saying he's not a good or great player because of that, but I don't buy into the whole, you know what, I'm going to be 20% less good just so to help the team.
Well, Joel Selwood did it last year.
But I agree with the Selwood being the same as Kocsen. I think Selwood's in regression.
Yeah, no, but Joel's older too.
Yeah. What? How old's Joel?
32.
Yeah, so Kocsen's 29. I think Joel's...
And Kocsen did it years ago.
Yeah, Joel, no-brainer. He knows he's on his slide.
Yeah. He walked out and
is
said...
Joel Selwood 32?
Well, I'm 32. He was 32 in...
God, it makes May, me feel I think.
Yeah, Jesus, how old
so
by the time he plays his next game, he'll be 32.
Yeah, right.
Crazy.
At what point did you decide that you, for the goodness of the team, you weren't going to be the man anymore?
Well, Melbourne Grammar year 10.
Oh, so this one's a big tick for the great box because he's considered in the upper echelon of football people.
Yes.
And generally,
but it's good funny, a lot of people will say, kind of when I argued Kocsen was great, people said average at best. Like, so people...
He's still good. He won a
break. I know, but people argue average at best.
I think there is a subset.
It's because of the categories coming up next, which I've got some hard points on. Like, this is why people would put him in the average at best.
Output versus talent next.
Yes. So he's a number 2 draft pick
mm-hmm.
behind Matty Cruiser. Now, just a quick look on the other guys who went fairly highish in that draft. And tell me whether you'd rather have these guys.
There's one who Hawthorn picked up. He was pretty good.
Correct. So Paddy Dangerfield went at 10. You'd rather have Dangerfield.
Yeah.
You would. Cyril went at 12.
No, I'm Cochin.
Really? Just because of longevity?
Yeah, I think. Look, I'd take Luke Bruce before Cyril.
Why? Do you not like Cyril?
No, I love Cyril.
Is this an infighting?
Wow, I absolutely love Cyril, but I think Luke Bruce is so underrated. Like, Luke Bruce kicked 100 more goals than Cyril in the same.
Nick, can you text Perth now and get a story up straight away?
Cyril, Luke Bruce is better than Cyril.
No, I'm sorry. Cyril had stuff that no other player in the competition had.
Yep.
But Luke Bruce kicked 100 more goals in the same games.
Well, when did we get on to Luke Bruce?
No, I'm just saying. So, like, Cyril
Rioli, good or great?
Cyril was great. Right.
Cyril's going on the list.
Cyril can go on. Cyril was brilliant.
Bruce should go on the list.
Cyril had absolute brilliance.
Yeah.
But I'm taking.
Okay, that's fair. Other one is, I think it's pretty obvious, but it jumped off as a fairish comparison, is Callan Ward. Like, they're not that different in terms of their output. Like,
it's the same draft.
It's the same draft. Ward was at 19. Cochin was obviously at 2. And it's just like their careers aren't that much different,
aren't they?
Except for the two flags.
Yeah.
And, you know, had things gone slightly differently for Callan Ward, he could have had a flag at the Dogs and he might have pinched one at the Giants. So this is what I'm saying.
So Callan Ward took money and Cochin didn't, and have a look what's happened.
Yeah, basically he made the team decision. But that's what's separating. That's what's separating him.
Yeah.
It's that decision to stay at Richmond, do all those things. That's what's making him great. It's not the output. Because you could argue that Callum Ward's just as good as playing
output. Oh, no. But I think we all said that if Trent Cochin doesn't win the flags, he's not even in the conversation.
Yeah. So that to me, like, if you're having either of those guys, and then I sort of was thinking, is he any better than Mark Murphy? Like, yeah, probably a bit. Like,
Murphy's a better finisher.
Yeah. Oh, no, Mark Murphy, another one if he won flags. Murphy, if he went to
Brisbane.
Well, they haven't won one.
They will.
Jeez.
No, well, I thought I was getting my timelines confused.
Yeah, no, you got your timeline out by a couple of
years. When he came in that year, Cruiser was supposed to be the next great ruckman. Dean Cox 2.0. Well, even at that point.
Yeah, Cruiser was the outstanding number one. Yes, and he was Cochin was the outstanding number two.
Yeah, clear number two.
Were they mates? Or was
they? Yeah, they played together the whole year. Whole
so,
life.
So they were his expectation. Good book, the draft.
Yeah.
Was it? He's a Brownlow medalist of the future, a future premiership captain. Now, he ticked all those boxes just in a weird way.
Yeah. Not like, probably the way you expected.
Correct. So I think what happened is for years people thought, he's not as good as he should be. And then late in his career, he's got this sort of retrospective Brownlow.
Yes.
He's got he's got these two flags that.
Has been a bizarre career when you think about it.
His football's declined, but his greatness in my eyes has gone up.
That's why this is such a weird one to calculate. Yeah. Because. Like, the Callan Ward comparison is right there. The fact that he didn't do any of this stuff until late in his career and even had to win the Brownlow some backwards way.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's why people think he's average. Because when he came in, it was like, this guy has to be this fantastic.
Yeah.
An all-time great.
Yes.
And the fact that he hasn't got there and even he's got to greatness in a weird way, that pisses people off.
So if Cochin... If Cochin had played footy like he did in 2012... at Fremantle, so had no success, he would have to have held that level of 2012 for 10 years.
Correct.
To be considered great.
Yes. And
but
this is kind of what I'm saying.
Now he's landed some silverware.
Yeah.
And
everything changes.
Know, yeah, 100%.
And do you think...
It's that rings mentality.
I'm not sure if this fits in the right category, but do you think, let's say, Sliding Doors, the... Tribunal actually sticks to their own rules and rules him out of the first grand final. Someone else lifts the cup. He lifts one a couple of years later. Does that affect?
Why? And Job keeps his Brownlow.
Oh, no, you're talking about that hit on Dylan Shield.
The hit on Dylan Shield.
Yeah.
So he gets rubbed out, doesn't play the grand final.
Why would he have been rubbed out for attacking a bloke with his head over the ball and knocking him out?
I don't know.
Make sense.
Especially when he already had like four fines and five another trigger.
Oh, with a punch to the face Lockie Neal's jaw ended in the light tower.
So here's my question. Does what Trent Cochin has put out on the footy field, does it feel like his resume is way better than it should be? Like Brownlow
for his ability.
Three-time best and fairest. You're like, huh?
Yes.
Like you see,
he doesn't sit alongside everyone else with that same.
You put Simon Black there or whatever. Yeah, Brownlows and premierships.
Like, oh, yeah, that fits.
Or, Voss, Brownlow and premiership captains.
It's the weirdest.
He's not next to them.
It's the weirdest. It's the most beefed up resume for a guy at his playing level. That you'll ever see.
Of course,
we're going to do this for a bunch of players. I don't think we'll see another player who's as polarising as he is.
No.
And in terms of resume not necessarily matching playing output, because the leadership quality is the one that you can't quite quantify.
No, you can't quantify it. No.
So, yeah, I'd say talent-wise, he made the most of it, but only for 1 year. He won three best and fairest. But he didn't maintain that level. He started, he won best and fairest.
Kevin Bartlett won five.
Yeah, but they were in flags.
Yeah, but only two other players have won four, and one was a Brownlow medalist. So he's right up the freckle of, Richmond greatness.
Oh, definitely Richmond greatness. Yeah, no doubt about that. They'll build a statue of him.
Yes.
But on the same.
But I mean, saying ability, we had one good year. They're bloody hard to win best and fairest.
He had won three over a four year span. He had one all time great.
Yeah, one time all time great year, and then it was started to slide.
Yeah,
almost immediately. So then he was. Couple of best and fairest.
Stop
years.
Saying almost immediately. He won another two best and fairest.
Yeah, but it's still a slide from that
one
year.
One more.
2012 was the high watermark, and then.
And he came third a couple of years later as well.
You got your
He was around the mark, but he was never that player.
Gee whiz. Yeah. If you keep saying he fell off.
He's 1 year All Australian, mate.
One year was the greatest. One year was better than Gary Ablett, essentially.
Not Job, but kind of Job.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So I think he made the most of his talent. But it wasn't for the length of time that you thought it should have been.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take that.
And the BNF thing too, we always talk about it. Like, Dean Kemp won one. Was he a better player than Trent Cotchin? At least the same. You know what I mean? He couldn't win more because he was playing alongside Peter Matera and Glenn Jakovich and Guy McKenna and all these other great, great, great players. So it's always a bit skewed. The BNF thing's hard. It depends who you play with. And
I'm frantically Googling Buddy Franklin, best and fairest. And
I don't know if he's won one. I don't think he has.
Yeah, I think he did win one.
He pinched one? Well, I don't say pinch. He got one.
I think he did.
Sure.
What, when he kicked 100 goals?
Yeah, 2008. Yeah, he won the best and fairest.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
But, I mean, Buddy Franklin's on one.
That tells you what it takes as a key forward to win a best and fairest. You have to kick 100 goals.
It took me so long to get through his to see whether he'd won a best and fairest or not. Four times Coleman, eight-time All-Australian, six-time leading goalkeeper at Hawthorn.
See, four-time Coleman surprises me. I thought he would have had six or seven.
A big bud.
Oh, well, JK was pretty good there for...
And even Ruff pinched one off him, didn't he?
Yeah, Ruff got one.
Fev got one, I think, at some point. Maybe?
People think of it Fev got a couple,
at least one or two.
Yeah. There's a bit of recency bias in some of these lists that are starting to pop out now, like players of the last 20 years and stuff.
Yeah, people are being just left off. Completely forgotten.
If Buddy's not one or two.
Paul Chapman, there was one the other day who's the best forward midfielder, and they said Paul Chapman is the best of all time over East. Have they forgot about Lee Matthews to start with? Yeah. But if it was of the modern era, Steve Johnson was better than Paul Chapman, and he was stood next to him in a centre bounce.
Yeah, there needs to be someone keeping track of these lists.
Yeah, need an ombudsman.
Yeah, you need to almost need to submit your list to Swampy or something who goes, okay, no, you've missed six of these guys. Someone had the best number
you're not
fives.
An idiot. You've obviously just forgotten this guy.
Well, someone did the best number fives of all time the other day and left off Gary Ablett Sr.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's
a miss. Hey, come on.
You thought it was scrunching and bit it. Fev did win two Commons.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
All right, so output versus talent, are we putting it down as good?
Just good.
All right. Now, last category is sort of just miscellaneous. So when you've got a point... You want to float for your argument, do it. I've got a point, but
longevity's been pretty good.
Yeah.
He hasn't been injured too
games
often.
Played.
234 games.
He's going to get over 250 comfortably. He's going to head towards...
He would have got that
season. He's going to head towards 300.
One thing, it doesn't support my argument, but one of the... When you talk about how people see him and his reputation and stuff, the story which sticks out is... His relationship with Dusty, and Dusty talks about how Cotchin helped him become the player he is. If you're going to take a step back to Dusty's an all-timer.
Uncle Dusty.
Yeah.
That counts for more towards the flag than anything he's done on the
field. Well, that's Damien Hardwick saying this guy single-handedly turned this club around.
Yeah.
But I think that's almost, I'm kind of paraphrasing, but it could be a direct quote.
I think you're right. And is part of his greatness that we're dubbing him, potentially, is that he accepted that he was Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point, you just know that you're not the guy.
Not the man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but is Trent Cotchin a number one guy? Is he an A?
Now?
He's not. I don't think he ever was.
Oh,
I think he had. I think he had to be.
Yeah.
For a little bit because he was drafted so high because he was their best player.
He was.
They didn't really have anyone else doing
it. But he stood up as a young kid when they were ordinary.
He's a half boy. High expectations.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think he was ever supposed to be an A. Like, I wouldn't put him in that same. He's not a Judd.
I'm not saying he's a great player in terms of. I don't think we've obviously spoken about
purely
it.
Playing, yeah.
He's not going to. Wayne Carey's and those sort of guys were irrelevant of what they did with silverware. They're greats.
Yeah.
Fife will be great, whether you win silverware
correct.
Or not.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. There's another level.
Yeah.
And
there's another level, but he's never
been on that, bar that one year where he should have had. But you have to do that 5-6 times to be that guy. Yeah. Mm. I feel like we've really talked it out.
I feel like we have, and I'm willing to concede he's a great.
Are you?
Yes.
With everything involved. See, my leaning towards the ability side has now softened a little bit, and when you consider what he's done for the club and everything,
yeah,
I'm probably willing to concede this one.
It's the same reason that Eagles fans would call John Morsford a great.
Yes.
Because he
is.
There are figures that will last decades because of what they do for the club.
And captain, premierships, so badly.
Correct.
Yeah, the club was, a baby.
Think about this Tigers team, who will be remembered because they broke a drought and everything else, won two flags and were best the other
Who are their best five players now?
Well, that's the ones that you'll remember in 15 years.
Who are Richmond's best five players now?
Go Dusty. To 2017 when they won.
Oh, jeez. Okay, well, clearly Dusty.
Yeah.
Jack.
Jack had a fantastic year.
Rance.
Rance was still very, obviously very good then.
But you know what I mean? Like, if you go through the Geelong years, you go, Bartel, Ablett, Enright, Selwood.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, you've got Ling. You've Johnson, Chapman. Yeah, it goes and goes. But like Richmond, we played a game on grand final in 2017, three quarts cut, name the 22 that just played.
And not one
could.
One of the more difficult exercises. Well, so you've got, you wouldn't put Bashar Hooley in that conversation.
Edwards is in that conversation.
But you know what I mean? They've won two grand, two-time premiership.
Yep.
You're right.
You can't name
Dion Prestia, I guess.
Well, he won their best of first last year, but
17, he was still just still figuring himself out. No, you're right. There's not a lot of depth.
Like, obviously they haven't been gifted a whole lot of talent. I still don't even know how they win Richmond. They're just bloody good.
Yeah.
And I reckon
Cotchin's, get the ball forwards and win.
Cotchin's played a massive part. Now you put Lynch in there, and Prestia's obviously gone up a level.
A lot of the guys have gotten better.
Yeah.
I think that's it. If you look back in 10, 20 years and you think about this Richmond side, you'll think about Dusty, and then you'll think about Cotchin.
Yep. And then Riewoldt.
Yeah. And Hardwick. I'll think about Hardwick. I think he's. If they build two statues, they'll build them about Hardwick and Dusty, but if they build three, the third one will be Koch.
Mm.
Yeah,
I think Koch's gonna get it ahead of
he won't Hardwick. Get one. He won't get one because of Dusty.
Oh no, he's not gonna get
no,
one.
No, no, I reckon he'll get one in
Dusty
Hardwick.
Might get an MCG.
Yeah, I reckon it'll be Dusty.
Might actually get the big one.
No, he might get the big boy.
Well, it's basically it's like 100 meters from each other.
So
like,
Dusty will get one at the G, and Koch will get one at punt
50
road.
Meters towards punt road. So they can both say they're at the G and correct punt road.
Yeah, I think it's I think Cotchin gets one ahead of Hardwick.
Cotchin's facing punt road. Dusty's facing the G.
Yeah. Well, they might even do the old double, like Hardwick and Cotchin holding the cup
together.
Combo and Dusty up the road, like just outside the Great Southern
Stand. All right. So we'll go back again and give you.
Nah, it's still great.
He's
for
a great.
Me.
Yeah, great.
Great for me. All right. I teetered for a bit there, but I'm still on great.
All right. We've solved the problem of Trent Cotchin.
Shout at us with your responses if you disagree.
Jess, hit us up on Instagram and Twitter and let us know how done we are. This has been the Hardball Gets AFL show, good or great. If you haven't subscribed, make sure you do that. Leave a rating, leave a review. And this has been your thanks to Mazda. We'll see you next time.